You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
This is side two of the series, Divorce, Repairing and Recovering, featuring Dr. Dale Meyer of the Lutheran Hour. Recovering from divorce takes time. In this message, based on Psalm 130, Dr. Meyer encourages the divorced person to be patient. He says the time will come when you'll be able to talk and not cry. Now, once again, here is Dr. Meyer.
Lord, because you have promised to give what we ask in the name of your only begotten Son, teach us rightly to pray, and with all your saints to offer you our adoration and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. When you break a bone, the doctor sets it, and you can do little but wait. You have to let nature take its course. When you're severely cut, the doctor stitches you up. You can't do much then, but wait for it to heal. You have to let nature take its course. And when you're divorced, your heart and mind need mending. Something that was supposed to be whole has been broken. You and your spouse were supposed to be one until death parted you, but something happened and cut you apart. The divorce decree was like a doctor saying, "I'm sorry, but the relationship is dead." Now, just like cuts and broken arms, nature needs to take its course in divorce. The experts say that the stages of grief, and that's exactly what it is, stages of grief, last 2 years or more. The stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally, acceptance. These stages are not clean cut. You may go back and forth from stage to stage. However, when all is said and done, the grief process in divorce includes, I'll say them once again, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally, acceptance. So goes nature's healing process. That process is aided if you have a friend or two to work through the stages with you. But the greatest help in healing is the God of nature, the creator of heaven and of earth and of you. A friend of mine who's been divorced told me how great it felt when she could get to the stage that she could talk about her divorce without crying. To talk and not cry is my topic today. Even more than letting the natural stages run their course, your Creator and your loving Father wants to bring you to the time when you can talk and not cry. In order to heal, to come to that day when you can talk and not cry, you need to fill every day with prayer. Let's start that healing habit right now. Let's pray. Oh God, this has been devastating. Since it's going to take time to heal, teach us today to seek your help in prayer. It's true, pain prompts us to pray. When it hurts so bad that you cry, you'll pray. The author of Psalm 130 wrote, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." We're not talking here so much about formal Sunday morning prayers. Those prayers have eloquent diction, measured cadences, and they seem to raise our souls to the throne room of God. Such formal prayers have their place. But this is a different kind of prayer. Out of the depths I cry to you. Divorce is so devastating. You're so angry. You're so helpless that you gasp as you struggle to say the words. When you do get the words out, you cry more and drown in your pain. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Then the psalmist continues, "Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." God does hear your prayers. That's good news. Don't misunderstand. Don't get the idea that a tearful prayer or two is going to make everything okay. Remember that there are stages to go through. But through the months and the years, God hears your tearful prayers. Listen to some of the promises He makes that He will hear you. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." The author of Psalm 55 says in verse 17, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Hebrews 4:16 is a great word of encouragement. "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us when we need it." Well, we need it. Rather than just let nature take its course, why not move through the stages of recovery with prayer to God? I've read that Sir Walter Raleigh would often go to Queen Elizabeth asking for this, that, or whatever. The Queen was upset because she was always being asked for something. "Sir Walter," she said, "when will you ever stop approaching me with petitions?" Raleigh answered, "When the Queen will stop to grant me my petitions." Unlike mortals, God promises to act on your prayers. Jesus Christ says, "Anything you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it, and you will have it." So let's pray again. Oh God, we've heard your promises to answer our prayer, but we feel helpless. How can we pray confidently for healing from this divorce? Only if you help us, O Lord, only if you help us can we pray with confidence. It does seem contradictory, doesn't it? On the one hand, we're supposed to pray with confidence that God hears and will answer. On the other hand, we don't feel so confident. When I spoke recently with some divorced people, they said they felt helpless. The two seem contradictory, but they're not. A certain Dr. Halsby writes that prayer and helplessness are inseparable. Only he who is helpless can truly pray. The author of Psalm 130 cried because he was helpless, but he cried to God because he was confident God would help him. He knew that his Creator was also his Savior. "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins," he said, "O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared." When you compare your sins to the holiness of God, you've gotten down to the essence of our helplessness. This is bigger and even more terrifying than divorce. Divorce is a sin. When a man and woman are married, it is the will of God that they stay married and faithful and supportive to one another. When God's will is broken, which is what sin is, then all sorts of trouble follows. Although divorce happens, it's not what God wants. It's sin. But you who are not divorced, tell me, do you always follow God's will? Do you keep His commandments in your thoughts as well as in your outward actions? Do you even know His commandments? How many times don't you selfishly think of yourself and let the other guy go hang? The bottom line is that we all sin. We all choose our will so often and God's will so seldom. "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" The answer is no one. Divorced or not, we should all feel helpless. But our helplessness shouldn't drive us from God. Our helplessness should drive us to God, because He is the one who has promised to forgive. "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness." God sent Jesus Christ into this world to live a perfect life, a life according to God's will, to die on the cross and suffer the punishment for our sins, and to rise from the dead so that we might have abundant life now and in heaven. the risen Savior Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and now gives His Holy Spirit through the Word and the Holy Sacraments so that you can know for a fact you are forgiven. Divorce is not an unforgivable sin. The Word of God says to every tearful, repentant, divorced person, you are forgiven. Because of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Divorce people understand how bad divorce is, but they often struggle to know and believe that they are completely forgiven. Well, I want you to hear and hear it well. Because of Jesus Christ, your Savior, you are forgiven. And that's true for the rest of you, too. Every one of you who is sorry for your sins, look to Jesus and be assured that you are forgiven. That fact explains how you can feel helpless and still pray with confidence. You are helpless, but God has given you forgiveness. The story is told about a judge who was ready to pronounce a severe sentence upon a convicted criminal. In the midst of those proceedings, a young child ran up to the bench straight to the judge. The child didn't know that man as a stern and strict judge. The child knew him as Father. In the same way, helpless as we are, you and I can go confidently to God in prayer. Dear God, now I get it. I really am helpless. I don't need to keep feeling ashamed before you because of my sin, but I can come to you confidently in prayer. In Jesus, you, O God, have forgiven me. Help me now. And I'm saying this confidently, Lord. Help me now, for Jesus' sake, lead me through the stages of recovery. He will. You keep praying. Have hope. Be patient with yourself. Psalm 130 concludes this way, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Be patient with yourself. Don't punish yourself for crying when you talk about your divorce. After all, why did the good Lord give you tear ducts? The Creator of nature, who can mend broken bones and heal cuts in due time, gave you tears to help you in the process of healing from divorce. Don't imagine that your faith is weak because you cry when you talk about your divorce. But also practice hope. You can confidently look forward to the day when you will be able to talk and not cry. The way to practice hope is to hold on to God's promise. Hold on to the promise that the day is coming when you will be able to talk and not cry. Hold on to that promise by reading God's words of promise. Read your Bible. Call and get copies of my messages this month. Share the messages with a friend. Read the word of God's promise over and over and over again, even through the tears. Practice the hope that God gives through His word. Psalm 42 says, My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, Where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Recently, I met with a group of people who knew about divorce from first-hand experience. For some, the divorce had happened quite a few years ago, but one woman was right smack dab in the middle of the divorce proceedings. She said almost nothing during our hour and a half discussion, but when she finally spoke, she couldn't get the words out without crying. I want to tell that woman right now, and I want to tell any of you who can't talk about a deep hurt without crying, that the time you long for will come. Be patient with yourself. Talk with your true friends. Pray to God and put your hope in His Word. The time will surely come when you can talk and not cry. Amen. Now we invite you to turn to Side 3 for more on divorce and recovery. This tape is brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries, 2185 Hampton Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139.